the concerned father. So we have a very short time. And let me just briefly go through parenthood. All right. So before this, we talk about Mother's Day. And we talk about the expressions of motherly love. So we see that in the passage that mothers are gentle. They are showing care and love to their children. And Christian mothers especially share the gospel in their lives out of love. So this is some of the expressions of motherly love that we can see from the scripture. And we also see that, you know, just as a mother willingly suffer with her child, we are reminded of God's willingness to suffer with humanity. And together we are called to imitate this love for others. And this is where fathers come in. Okay, before we even talk about father, we have to first acknowledge that parenthood, father, mother, husband, and wife. So much of our learning in life comes by imitating others. And who are we imitating today? So as you become a father, as you become a mother, we don't have a manual. Father 101. You read this and you are to be the best father ever. So let's cut the fathers some break, all right? They are learning. We are still learning. We are modeling after somebody. It could be our own father. But if we model after the wrong models, it will cripple our lives and possibly ruin our character. So who are we modeling today? This question is for fathers, especially this morning. The role of models that we follow influence us in every area of life. And definitely, there will be trouble in the home when Christian couples try to imitate the world and get their standards from Hollywood, from Bollywood, instead of from Jesus Christ himself. And we also talk about if the wife shows submission and the husband shows consideration, and if both of them submit to Christ and follow his example, enriching experiences in their marriage will follow. If not, both the husband and the wife and the family altogether will be missing God's best and robbing each other of blessings and growth. And this is what we are seeing in the families today. Because sometimes we model after the wrong example, and that is why, you know, in our family, sad to say, there are some chaotic situations. So why is a concerned father important in the family today? So as a father, we know we work, right? Oh, it's very hard to work outside. We have to see the faces of our bosses. We have to deal with our colleagues. We have to deal with deadlines and projects. So once we reach home, we just want to, you know, chill. We just want to stay at our personal corner and let, you know, nothing disturb us. So I understand because I'm like a father, I'm working as well. I do appreciate the my time. The alone time. This is the ideal situation. But we know that this is not true. Imagine this. As you go into the, you know, house, then you have shoutings, you know, from the first child, the eldest child, the second child. They are fighting, tearing each other up. Then the mom is there, the maid is there. So everything is chaos. So once you get home, you are tired. And no doubt, especially in the urban setting, we are tired, whether it is the father, whether it's the mom, not so much of the children. So why is a concerned father important in the family today? Now, a concerned father has certain characteristics that we are going to look at in the scripture in a while. But we do notice, in general, the fatherly figure is missing in action. The father could be hiding in his study room, doing his own stuff. And then you notice that children will have their own room and they will be spending their own time online, perhaps, chatting with their friends, modeling after wrong figures. So the fatherly figure is missing in action. We are staying in the same house, but we are at different corners. And when we meet, if we do meet, it is through WhatsApp saying that it's time for dinner. Come down. How many of us do that? We send the message to everybody in the family through WhatsApp and they gather down for meal. And even during the meal, some of us, we are on the phone, you know, texting. So how much time do we actually spend with our children, especially for the parents? Now, this is a very quick survey that was done over different countries. And even though we do see a trend of increase of the time spent in the family by parents, those times include washing, feeding, preparing food, putting to bed, supervising the children, and playing with the children. Now, you do notice that communicating with the children is missing from this study. And yes, we do say that, you know, as a parent, we do a lot of things for our children. We are there for them, but we seldom communicate with them in a manner that is worthy. And how should we do that today? So how much fatherly influence do we see in the family today? Would you dare to take up the challenge to send your kid to another family for 1 week? It's like, yay. Yes, I can get to go and stay with my friends. How many of us as family, we are willing to send our children under our care to another's family and leave them there for 1 week? After 1 week, what will happen? Will the parents of the other family come back and say, oh my gosh, your child, they never stop? Are we hearing positive or negative comments if we do send our children to another family for 1 week? How much of the fatherly influence do we see in the children today? So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians very quickly. I only have 3 points for the fathers today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. If you have your scripture, your Bible with you, I would like to encourage you to open to that. And let me read to you from verse 9 onwards. Surely remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So we see that Paul has listed out criteria and the role of a father. It can be an earthly father, it can be a teacher, it can be a Sunday school teacher, it can be a fatherly role to those under our care. So we see that first of all, the father not only provides and cares for the family, he is to be an example of holiness, of righteousness, and of blamelessness before God. Amen. So the first W, the concerned father works to provide. Not only to provide the physical needs, but also to provide the spiritual side of it. All right? Now surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. So as fathers, automatically, very naturally, we do provide for the family. So we work very hard outside. And as a result of that, sometimes we just offset our balance. We spend too much time providing for the family, for the physical needs, the best school, the best education, the best future possible. But sometimes we have neglected to provide for our children the spiritual side of the need. The spiritual side of the need. So until we are able to say that our children is ready, we are to continue faithfully provide for them. Especially spiritually. So when, you know, Jesus asked Peter whether he loves him, Jesus asked him to feed his sheep. So those under our care for fathers, they are our sheep. It could be in the boys' brigade session where there are young people put under your care. It could be a teacher that you have a class of them or few classes of them. Or if you have your child of your own, those are your sheep and you are to faithfully provide for them. Now, Christian parents or other Christian fathers, we do have this challenge. Take your kids to church even if they sleep on the church floor. Our setting is not in such a way that, you know, the child can sleep on the floor like that. Take your kids to church even if it has to be persuaded to keep them quiet. Even if you have to go out and about to calm them down. Even if they are running, they are screaming, or they are busy by themselves. Even if you have to carry them all the time. Take your child to the church. As Christian fathers, sometimes we say, "Ayah, paise lah. Ayah, sorry. This is my child. She has been crying now and then. Right? I'm so embarrassed. I'm so disappointed in their behavior because they disrupt the flow of the worship. Nevertheless, take your child to church. It is our duty to let them know how do we worship God. It is our duty to let them know how do we pray. It is our duty to let them know how do we run to Jesus Christ when we are in trouble. They need to see that in us. So as Christian parents, take your kids to church even if they misbehave. Because a church without the presence, without the noise, without the shouting, without the crying of the children, is a church without a future. A church that doesn't have the presence of young kids is a church without future. So for those families with young children, bring them. For those who are still patoying, who do not have a children yet, be patient with those who have kids. For those who are single, for those who are in their retirement already, be patient with those who have younger kids. The second W, walks with God. The concerned father walks with God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. So when we look at the fathers, is there good testimonies, we call it? Is there good report? This father so-and-so, you know, he's very good, he has been very kind, he is showing patience, you know. Is there a good testimony or testimonies of poor examples instead? Philippians says this, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Now as father, usually we want to ask our children to do as they are told. Imagine a father who says this, "Child, stay away from smoking, because it's going to harm your lungs, you may get lung cancer, and especially if you are a girl, the nicotine in you may cause deformity in the baby, etc., etc., etc. Do you understand me?" Okay, go and do your business now. So a family has to be one that is present, first of all. It has to be one that is visible. You cannot say, "Follow what I say, but don't follow what I do." As parents, as father, be reminded that your actions speak louder than words. When you say no to something, are you doing the same thing yourself? And I hear of a family, you know, the children are addicted to Roblox. The kids will know what's Roblox. And when they talk about Roblox, you know, and when we are trying to help the children to get a grip of themselves, to control it, in return, they say that my father and my mother also play. My parents are playing as well. So that gives us, you know, a dead end in a way. How can we help a children who have games addiction to stop gaming when, in fact, their parents are doing the very same thing? Friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. So how we live, fathers especially, it is of great importance, because your non-believing child at the moment see you And do they hopefully have something good to say about you? So if you want to be, or if you want to teach your child important lessons, be that lesson yourself. And then the last W. The concerned father offers words to encourage, to comfort, and to urge. Encourage, comfort, and to urge. Now, there are three different, you know, intensity here. Now, encourage basically is to say that, you know, you are doing well. It is indeed, very nice to hear words of encouragement in a world that is full of negativity. And therefore, let us learn how to encourage one another. So when was the last time you actually encouraged one another? When was the last time you actually hear an encouragement from your family or from your teachers or from your elder? Yes, Wishio? A lot? Oh, yesterday. Okay, good. So we thank God for the encouragement that you received yesterday. Now, comfort is something more than that. There's an intensity here. Encouraging words followed by comfort. It has the similar idea as encouragement with the emphasis on the activity. Now, this is an example of comforting words. All right? It is not to numb us from the suffering. It is not to numb us of the situation, but it is a stimulant that awakens us to do better. That is comfort. So to me, this is comforting. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But Jesus said to me, this is Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And therefore, Paul, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me." So Paul has an issue here. He has an issue and he has asked God to take it away from him 3 times. But this is what Jesus replied to him. It is not the absence of suffering. It is not the absence of challenges in life. It is not the absence of trials and temptation. The comforting part is that God is there. And because God is there, we are challenged. We are challenged to do better with God in our midst. And the last part is urging. Knowing that we are comforting, we are comforted to know that God is with us, we are to urge each other to live out a life that's good, that is pleasing to God, so that ultimately God will get the glory through the life of His children. So when our family strive, we bring glory to God. And if you say that so-and-so family don't have God, and even before they have God, they are very good, can you imagine how much better it is if that family actually get to know God? Can you actually see that how much that family will thrive if God is in their midst? So once again, very quickly, let me just conclude this. The concerned father works to provide for the physical needs of the family and also for the spiritual needs of the family. The concerned father walks with God, being an example himself that the children can look up to. And the concerned father offers words to encourage, to comfort, and to urge the children to do better, to be a better person, and to contribute to the family. And the last thing that I want to bring to all parents is that we have fears. We are fearful that our children is not growing up to be the best version that we can be. We are fearful that they are going to have troubles along their way. We are fearful that we are not being able to be with them when trouble comes. We have a lot of fear as parents. As father, we are not invincible. As father, we are never invincible. But once again, we are taking comfort. And therefore, I'm urging you to remember this, that the remarkable thing about God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you will fear everything else. So as we put our fear at the right place, only then, our earthly father will be as invincible, because our power comes not from within us, but our power comes from God, our Heavenly Father. We are not perfect. We are still on the way. But as we look upon these three things, hopefully, fathers, we can be the better version for the children, for our sake, for their sake, for the next generation's sake. Let us pray. Before we pray, may I invite all fathers to stand where we are. Fathers, just stand where you are. We would like to acknowledge you. We want to pray for you as well. All right. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you especially for fathers this morning. Lord, we know that it is very challenging for us to do our role. We know that it is very hard for us in this ever-changing world. Our children are growing up at an alarming rate. Yes, yes. And Lord, sometimes we feel that we are unable to catch up to them. But Lord, we just want to be reminded that you comfort us, that you encourage us, that you will urge us to be a better version of ourselves, so that we too can bless our next generation, bless our children in the way that you have blessed us. Help us to draw strength from you, Lord, knowing that at our weaknesses, when we are weak, when we are helpless, Lord, we can draw strength from you, knowing that you will never leave us and that you will never forsake us. And we want to thank you for the love that you have shown to each and every one of us, including fathers, including mothers, including all the others who you have put into our family. We want to thank you for the love that we have shown to one another and received from the others. We know that, Lord, all this is from you. And we want to once again ask that you continue to bless all fathers with good health, with a life that is consistent with their calling, a life that is of a good model and a role model that the children and the young generation can follow and look up upon. So help us to be the best version that you have created us to be with your help. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.